You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
No, we're not going back. This is Section 31. Welcome. this is episode number 294. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This is 294. There might not have been a 293. I'm not sure. That was probably lost at sea. I don't know. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, we're on 294 now, so ever upward. Did you say your name?
I did.
Then let's move onward.
I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we will talk about... what are we going to talk about? Boy, that's how this week has been going.
We are professional podcasters.
I'm thinking about the animated series, because we watched that. I'm thinking about the new promos that they showed on the site. Awesome. Of this game on the phones that people are playing called Timelines. We can talk about that. And that may be enough. There may be something else, but let's just move forward. What do you want to start with?
Well, we should start with the episode, because I watched it last week, and it's quickly fading from my memory.
Fair enough. What did you think about this episode? Because I have some thoughts.
You know, there were parts of it I didn't hate.
Okay, so...
I didn't hate it in general. I just, there was a lot of weird stuff wrong with it.
Okay.
It was an interesting idea.
I thought...
There was a lot of big jumps.
I thought this was, the epitome of the animated series right here, right?
You got
creative story, right? Which, not so creative looking back across all of the Star Trek stories, okay? It's a story that, the computer goes haywire. It happens a lot. But anyway, this may have been one of the first times they did it. You've got the holodeck failure, or, something that's first time again. But things like the holodeck and the big inflatable Enterprise...
Those are things that you
you can't do unless, for the time, not going to be able to do that unless it was an animated show. Agreed? I mean, does that make sense?
And there were definitely, kernels of good ideas here that were harvested for later. The holodeck was presented with absolutely no preamble. This is totally a thing that we do all the time on the rec deck, and it just becomes what we want it to be. It was very interesting, sort of precursor to that. The ship coming to life and having its own, having to deal with that. In this case, not actually tied to the holodeck as it is in the TNG episode, but again, something that was mined for probably not one of the best episodes of TNG, but an episode of TNG nonetheless.
Well, Emergence? Is that what we
want? Yeah.
Yeah. but just the... I thought the pacing was pretty good. There were no, there are times in these shows where we sit down and just look at the clock and wonder when, Scotty's going to stop singing. I didn't feel that at all. I felt like this whole thing ran through really quick. I thought, I thought all the practical jokes, I think they set them up in a good order. So, it went from little moderate things.
Good escalation.
Good escalation. Spock with the things on his eyes. I knew it was going to happen. It still made me laugh out loud. That was hilarious.
I'm like, why is that? That's not what the viewfinder looks like. Why is that? I see where they're going with this.
I remember seeing that Kirk is a jerk on his shirt when I went to Memory Alpha, but I had completely forgotten because it's been weeks since we talked about this. So when you said I had some problems with my laundry, and I'm like, oh, what is it? It was too small. So I was expecting it to be several sizes too small, and he's going to have his little arms.
Sure.
He turned around and said, Kirk is a jerk. that was fantastic. The turnaround at the end, where Kirk starts acting.
Yes.
That was unexpected. I thought, oh, what are they releasing to the air now? And then, you know, he started panicking, and the ship said, "Oh, well, you want to do what you want to do there? I guess what I'm going to do." I'm like, "Oh, I see what's going to happen here." You know, merely passing through, resetting everything. It was kind of a leap,
huge stretch.
Yeah, all right, leap, huge stretch. You know, like, however you want to put it.
There was just no implication or suggestion or any reason to believe that going back through it would have any reversing or alleviating effects on that whatsoever.
No, but given the constraints of a 20-minute show, I thought that was an interesting, if poorly thought out, way to reset things. So I didn't hate it. I liked it for what it was.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, there were certainly parts of it that were like, okay, this is kind of fun. You know, it's like Star Trek V. You know, if you ignore the actual plot of the episode, there's a lot of fun stuff in it. But I just couldn't get past. I guess I started out because it was a shockingly brisk introduction. Like, all right, Romulans are attacking. Here we go. We're in a fight. What's going on? You know, this episode is called The Practical Joker. So, you know, I had some preconceived notions going in. I'm like, maybe this is like a Trelane style Joker or Q like episode or something. And I guess because this was my first thought and they never reconcile it, it bugged me the whole episode because they're like, okay, Romulans are here and we're attacking you for what we think is a good reason, or they say is a good reason, but for really no reason at all. So I'm expecting that to be part of the practical joke.
I agree.
Beginning of the joking.
Yeah.
But it very clearly wasn't. That was just a catalyst to get them to fly through the joke cloud. And then, you know, the only time you were like, okay, well, it's a good thing we went through that cloud and hid from those Romulans and now we're home free. And it's like, that's it. It was like an episode of The Simpsons where they spend, you know, the 25% of the episode doing completely unrelated things to get you to into this situation where they want to have the main thrust of the story.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they even went, which I was like, okay, whatever. They don't explain that at ever. But then they circle back around to the Romulans. And again, they never say, well, we saw you in the neutral zone, or, you know, they don't have any experience with this cloud either. You know, so that's, you know, like, well, maybe they got affected by the cloud. No. There's plenty of opportunities for good excuses for what happened. It's just like, nope, we want the Romulans to be here, so they're here. And, you know, that certainly doesn't have any repercussions like starting a war or anything.
All right. Clearly, there were some very inelegant parts, inelegantly written parts. Why did the Romulans attack them? They weren't in the neutral zone, at least according to Kirk. They were just on a survey mission. Or they were in a neutral zone, they weren't in Romulan space. Although, every time they went into the neutral zone, it seems like the Romulans attacked them for no good reason. Right? I mean, isn't that kind of their thing?
Yeah.
All right. Why going...
But they didn't even do it this time.
No.
And speaking of that was like the I was like, okay, this is clearly an imposter. Practical Joker Kirk, because like right away he's like, no, we are outnumbered, Scotty, even though you want to fight them, I think that we should administer the better part of valor.
Yeah.
And make a, it's like, okay, who are you and where is Captain Kirk?
Yes, again, one more step in the let's push them through the field so things happen.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you brought me down from being one of my favorite episodes to clearly seeing the holes in this. No, I still think it was fabulous. I had a great time. I would recommend this as one to watch if you were doing highlights of the animated series. How's that?
I can't argue with that.
Okay.
There's so many episodes that are like this that are just things happen for no reason because this is where we want to get to, that, you know, that's already a conceit of even trying to watch this series. So, you know, if you can get past that and just, you know, enjoy the rest of it, it's fine. And, yeah. And you know, that's the same thing. You know, like I said, the Final Frontier has similar issues. Now that I'm over the plot, I really enjoy going back and watching that movie for the moments, the scenes, you know, Star Trek moments of it all. But I guess just because I started with that notion of, okay, this is going to be involved, and it happened so briskly, and then it had absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. So did you have a similar thought that I did? Is this is either going to be the computer or Nurse Chapel?
I figured, I don't know, because I, again, knowing that they harvested the animated series sort of as the uncanon canon for ideas for other shows, I also, like, whenever I recognize something, I'm like, oh, this might be this. Is it Lonely Among Us in the first season of TNG, where they pass through a cloud and they pick up, like, an energy being, and it jumps from person to person, sometimes in the computer, sometimes in a person, and it ends up landing in Picard. But you know, I was like, well, maybe it's some kind of weird being pulling it. Nobody remembers it because they, you know, it's always somebody different being possessed by the critter.
Yeah,
and they're pulling the jokes. But you know, so the computer is certainly one of those options. But yeah, after a while, it was like, okay, that's clearly, I mean, not that that narrows it down, but that's clearly Measure Roddenberry's laugh.
Yes.
So it's either Maress or Nurse Chapel or another character or the computer.
Yeah. All right. I still think that I still had a good time. if this were my introduction and my only episode, I would have probably gone back and watched more and been disappointed. But now that we've gotten this far and been through all the valleys, right?
This was a
refreshing ascent from the depths of the series. How's that?
I definitely see that.
All right, very good. So I would recommend watching it. I had a good time. Next up is an episode called Albatross. I don't know what that means, so we'll find out next week. Kirk is a jerk.
Kirk is a jerk. Stupid jerk.
I would have a hard time not using that pick, that image, for for a card.
You know, I will definitely give this episode that. It is a wealth of particularly Tribbles friendly images.
Oh, the Kirk with the fork that just kind of goes. That's perfect.
And like Spock with the the raccoon eyes, and Kirk is jerk. Yeah, there'd be a lot of you could do another whole set of Tribbles with just animated images from this episode.
Yeah, no, it was great. Also, it would be fun to do a hologram from their walk in the park, you know, just something.
Oh yeah,
something just it would be something that is similar to holograms we had before, but never from the animated series. I wouldn't have expected that. Having not seen this episode before, I had no idea that they were going to have a holodeck.
Yeah,
and then, you know, walk in the park, or maybe the maze at the very end. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Let's move on then. About maybe a week ago, I was sitting with Charlie, and I was telling him about this game that he had introduced me to, how much fun I was having playing the Magic, the puzzle quest-like thing where you match three in a row and they disappear, and then you can, it empowers your Magic cards. And
oh, sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Bejewel.
Yeah.
Style.
And he said, well, check out this game. And it was Star Trek Timelines. And so I downloaded it, started playing it, soon was using all of my free time to send people on away missions and in the shuttlecraft, and
yep.
I did not, in fact, pay $5 yet, but you did. Have you reaped any benefit? Oh, sorry, $4.
Yeah, but... Sure, yeah. So here's the thing, though. All you get from that is 100 dilithium a day, as long as you check in every day and get it. Now, there's not really a lot you can do with that amount of dilithium unless you're trying to buy your way. You know, you can rush away missions or shuttle missions. You can speed up the time by paying dilithium. But really, the big payoff for the dilithium is to save it up so that you can get the big payoff for a week's worth of dilithium, and you can get, I think it's like 9 rares and an epic or something like that, just randomly.
Okay, so you're still saving
and
up.
So I've only been playing for like 3 days, and I spent a whole day playing and going, okay, this is fun. I'd pay $4 just for today, so that was fun. So I haven't really got to use that. At the end of the week, we'll see. I'm kind of torn between doing that, as much as it would be nice to have some nice rare or epic level characters, because for the same cost of that, you can buy another shuttle.
Right, and I think Charlie said that was one of the best things he ever did, was to buy another shuttle to make your way, those faction missions go faster.
Yeah, so I think very likely what I will do is when I get to that threshold, I'm going to look back and see, you know, where I'm at. Am I hit? Because yesterday I hit a pretty bad threshold where I just couldn't get past the current mission because I didn't have a medical person. It was, you had to have medical to get past the first test, and my medical person was only half as high as they needed to be, and I couldn't, there wasn't a lot of other things I could do. I ended up getting a random uncommon medical, which was very nice, and I finally found a rare item that helped me level up Ezri, who has medical. And so I was able to get past that. But so you never really know where you're going to hit that wall or that plateau and what's going to be more important. It would be really nice to have another shuttle, but I kind of feel like I want to wait to the second week to do that, just so I can get some crew and have that extra week to level them up before I start doing 3 shuttles.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a good idea. So I got my captain up to level 14, I think, last night, I think. So I had joined the continuing committee fleet a while back. I think level 9, I think you've got to be or something.
Yeah.
And at some point, I realized I was having a good time. And at some point, I realized that I was spending every waking minute playing the game. And in between anything else I was doing, I was fishing my phone out of my pocket to do scans and send people on away missions. So I deleted it, and I deleted my Magic game too, because they were taking way too much time. Yeah, I think I figured that I was consuming way more media and information than I was actually creating. I haven't, so I just got rid of them both. I've got stories to write for Fridays coming up, and I've got cards to write for the next sets coming up. So I decided to remove that temptation, and I got rid of it completely.
I can't argue with that. That's I definitely have found that over the past few days in between everything. Even when I'm like, okay, I'm sending these guys on 3-hour shuttle rides. They're not going to be back until then. But it's not quite to the point of mythos obsession, if you'll recall that, where I actually was setting my alarm for 4 a.m. so I could get up and do my city attack and then go back to bed. And come back 4 hours later.
Yep, but I do recall. That is amazing. I stopped playing that game as well.
The other side of that is very soon I will actually have nothing but little bits of random time to fill.
Yes.
That seems like it would be an advantageous, little minor thing that I don't have to pay attention to all the time, but I could do in short bursts.
If you happen to be awake every 3 hours for some other reason, that's perfect.
Exactly. If somebody's crying, then, I guess I'll get up and, rock in the chair and check my shuttlecraft.
Yep. It's a very easy to play game to play with one hand. If your phone's not too terribly big. And
definitely.
Then you use the other hand for bouncing. Yeah. So, that's perfect. I applaud your foresight. That's an excellent thing to do. I got to send a message to Daniel Madison to kick me out of the fleet, because I know there's an upper limit to how many people can be in the fleet. And I meant to leave the fleet before I deleted my account, and I forgot completely. So, apologies. Anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing how you and Charlie and everyone else do, because it sounds like I was as into it as I could have been. I was going to the websites, reading up on all the things people were complaining about. I was stockpiling all the equipment that is supposed to be hard to get later, like the holodecks from Section 31 missions. And I had a plan. I was planning on doing all the as much Romulan stuff as I could, so I started getting Romulan personnel and trying to get some, the Derridex plans and everything. I was really going to get into it, and I realized this is not what I need right now. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for the days I played it, so I might pick it back up again in the future.
I could definitely sympathize with that, and I think I may have to at least throttle back on it for a little while, because there are a number of projects where I'm like, I have a very finite amount of time to get this done before I am not going to have any time at all. And preparing for that event is one of them.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to. I mean, it'll be nice to have the card, get the dilithium rolling. And I actually saw, I did like you were saying today, and I had a couple of questions on things I didn't quite understand. I went to the wiki and some of the message boards, and I saw one guy say, I'm tempted to just stop playing for a little while and come back when I have all of this blah. And somebody was like, okay, if you're going to do that, here's what you need to do. And it was very much like a WoW guide to just coming back and playing your dailies. It was like, come back and do these three daily missions every day. And, while you're on, spend all your chronotons on warping through a handful of missions, so you get some gear and you're not wasting that. And then, you can let your dilithium, pick up your dilithium every day. And then when you come back in a month, you won't just be back where you started. You'll have all of this stuff and you'll be ready to go. So I was like, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. No. There were a lot of things that were broken. Cause it was just, the thing was just released like 2 or 3 weeks ago, if that. And there were personnel who couldn't advance because the mission that was supposed to release this equipment randomly never released it at all. So people were just confused on certain things. So, in another couple of weeks, perhaps, through another couple of builds, those problems will go away and it'll be a little less tedious.
I saw people talking about, oh, I love doing Dabo. And it's like, oh, I've never even seen a Dabo. What's that? And they're like, oh, yeah, it just doesn't show up for some people.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah. I was reading the same forum or a similar forum that said this Federation what did it say? So on the main thing where you can spend your credits and spend your money, there was the, buy your uncommon stuff, and then there was the buy the rare thing. And then to the right of that was Federation
loyalty,
yeah. So you can get even more stuff. I was like, well, I wish I had some dilithium, because apparently I can see it, and not everyone can. I would have liked to, but yeah.
From the screenshots I've seen, mm-hmm. that is where the Dabo was.
That's okay. Very good.
So I don't know if like some people get some and some people get the other, or if it rotates, or if they just decided Dabo is broken and we're going to replace it with this.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people just saying, all I do is play Dabo.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and I look forward to hearing how it goes in the future.
Thanks. I will let you know when I get my Defiant.
I kind of figured. I mean, as much as I wanted a Derridex to fly around in, I could have figured. I mean, Defiant was a 5-star, right?
Well, there's a Defiant, and then there's the Defiant class vessel. Huh. And I got a couple of random plans for that first, and it's much easier to get to. And you know what? I'm fine flying around in a Defiant class vessel for a while until I can upgrade it to the Defiant.
Makes sense. All right.
Yeah. Although I am kind of jealous. I saw Daniel Madison saying he like lucked into some plans for the Borg scout vessel, and now he's basically immune to combat. Like every ship combat he gets into is like 4 or 5 seconds. He doesn't even hit any buttons. It just is over, and he 3-stars it every time. It's like, okay, how did that happen, and how can I make it repeat?
Yeah, no doubt. I talking to Charlie on Friday, briefly, one thing he did say was, getting ideas for a lot of versions of personas, because there's a lot of different personnel with a lot of different personas in there, and it's actually kind of cool. I like that.
And it was pretty funny, you know. It's like, if I were just a Star Trek fan playing this, and we've had this happen a couple of times where, you know, knowledge, like a really deep game or a universe knowledge for Star Wars and Star Trek that we would not have if it weren't for the card game. And I bought a random set of commons and uncommons. I was like, oh, I need medical. I got the crappy person, but I got a common Simon Tarsus. Yay!
Yes. And Simon Tarsus, I know, like, who that is.
Who the hell is Simon Tarsus? I'm like, well, you wouldn't know him, but he's feeling suicidal.
I said the same thing. That's hilarious. For those of you who are not us, Simon Tarsus was the auto-destruct king back in the day. He would always fly a shuttlecraft out in the middle of nowhere and auto-destruct, because that was the best way to damage opponent ships. When Premiere was all we had, and that was the fun thing to do. Simon Tarsus is feeling suicidal, and he would fly out, and then boom. All right, anyway. Okay, one last thing to talk about, and that is the pretty cards on the website. Agreed?
Pretty cards. And if you're only looking at the homepage, you're seeing some very nice... it ticked over, though. So if you looked at it yesterday, you're only seeing some fairly nice-looking ships, and you're really missing out on the king of the three, and that is the Tribbles. So you actually have to go to the list.
There's a new article up, so you can see all three on the same page now.
Oh, there you go. So you can see them on the article. But, 1,000 oh, my God.
Threes.
That is just so funny with the all the asteroids replaced by Tribbles.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's so good.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of all three, because, you know, as we mentioned, the Derridix is my favorite ship class, so
yep.
No doubt I will be collecting as many of these as I can. There you go.
Yeah, I do like the warping Duranus, though. That's very cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty good in foil, I'll tell you.
Nice. All right, well, looking forward to finding Masters events to go get those there. So if you have been waiting to know what's coming for the Year of the Romulan, there it is.
Year of the Romulan. Awesome. All right. Well, at the end of November, we're going to have our Masters in San Diego, so be ready. I got plenty of time to practice, so I can get a green playmat and a couple of promos.
Excellent. I will be prepared to freeze all of the triple asteroids. All right. With that, that is all of the intelligence we have this week. We will have a tournament coming up this weekend, a 1E constructed. I will be there.
Good.
Dan will not.
I'm going
to. I could tell by the shaking of his head,
yep.
Or the sad turn of your brow, which is unfortunate. But I will. I think we have at least four, so we will have sanctioned, and I'll come back. And assuming I have any kind of originality with my deck, I honestly at this point will probably have to net deck something. But I know what I have in mind, so I'm looking forward to playing it. Come back and tell you how things go. But that'll be next week. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw to end.
And you'll be double-crossed by the double-O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31.